Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. Today we're joined with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are we doing today?
Hi Coach Steve, I'm very good. Thank you, how are you?
I'm really well. I'm full of energy this week, Nick. You know why?
Why?
We've just come off the back of the awards night, the January Challenge Awards night, and that was just last Friday. So that was a whole weekend ago, and I'm still pumped from the entire weekend of celebrating the awards night, and I'm still full of energy for this week. It was such a great night, wasn't it?
It was, and it was so great to see. Like the minute that I checked after, there were already about 200 comments, so people were really engaging with it. It felt huge, so that was excellent.
Yeah, it was a very cool event. So that was live streamed to our Facebook social hub. You can go and view that now if you wish. Over the weekend, I think I checked on a Sunday night, there were over 1,000 views to that, to the recordings, not just live, to the recordings. So many people went through and re-watched it. So lots of people viewing that, lots of people celebrating the achievements of those individuals who joined us in the January Challenge. So there were everybody who got in the top 50, top 10, top 3. We got our Community Award, People Choice Award. And it was just a big celebration of everyone who participated in that January Challenge. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're all winners, Nick. We're all winners for everybody who put energy towards improving themselves. And that can mean anything, you know, improving themselves as in trying to lose weight, improving themselves trying to be fitter or stronger, maybe improving themselves mentally, improving their confidence, or even just trying to be a better person. I think that's something that we can celebrate, is just the improvement that we kind of focus on. And that's the name of the game when we're focusing on body transformation, is consistent improvement over time.
Exactly. You couldn't have said it better.
Nick, now is this fun time in between challenges where it's a little bit of a waiting game when we're trying to start that next challenge. And for many of us, our goals can change over time. For many of us, our goals right now might be different to the goals when the challenge starts. So some of you might not right now might have just completed the challenge and thinking, well, I just want to kind of maintain this for a little bit. And then when the next challenge starts, I might want to build muscle. Maybe when the next challenge starts, I want to lose weight. So now is a nice time to kind of think about where you want to kind of take your physique, where you want to take your fitness journey, where you want to take your development, right? Because there's lots of areas where we can progress and develop over time. And this kind of nice time in between the challenge can be a great, you know, rest and reset time. It could be a great time to prepare, or it's a great time to establish a foundation. And that foundation can be to establish your environment, establishing your habits and routines, or even a foundation of physical improvement. So maybe you have those like aches and pains in your body. You might want to go and get those checked out. Maybe you want to lay down some foundation movement preparation. So if you can't complete a squat, maybe this is the time where you practice the squat, practice the balance it takes to go down into that squat, the strength you need at the bottom, or improving your kind of movement capabilities and those types of things. So great time to prepare for the future is right now.
Definitely. And collect equipment if you're training at home, all sorts of stuff like that. It's time. And just have a real think about what your goals are as well. I always talk about that, but you want to make sure that you are aligning with what your values are, and that will help you to have success in the future, not what someone else wants for you.
Absolutely. Now, within the Challenge Podcast, we have a range of interviews with previous top 10 finalists. So if you haven't already, go check out some of those interviews, because you start to hear a similar story from all of our previous top 10 finalists. And for many of those, there are a history of training. So for many of our previous top 10 finalists, they have had some experience with sports or exercise or fitness in the past. Let's say they've done a few challenges in the past, or maybe they were a PT when they were, you know, 18 years old, and you know that life got in the way and things changed. Those types of stories are very common for our top 10 finalists. But what you'll find is that the significant thing that the challenge did for that individual was that it helped them to keep accountable. It helped them to work towards a goal, and that goal was a 12-week challenge. At the end of the challenge, it was a competition. So that goal, that date, that drive is what got them there, and the challenge helped them to keep them accountable. So between now and the next challenge starting, many of us might like fall off the wagon because we're not working towards something. You know, there's no kind of like goal in mind or like that end date in mind, or there's no sense of accountability. Okay, so this is an open invitation to everybody listening to this podcast, is to use our social platforms as a way to stay accountable to yourself, right? Accountable for the future. And yeah, sure, it'd be great if you join us for the next challenge, but if you don't, that's cool, that's fine. We still want you to be part of fitness, and you can still utilize our social platforms to stay accountable. So I'm going to invite you to come join us on our Facebook social hub. If you haven't already, you can just search for the M Challenge Official Facebook social hub. Come join us, and you can create some posts about your goals, where you want to go in the future. And then maybe you want to make a few accountability posts, maybe once a week, as saying, hey, I'm here and this is my goal and I'm working towards that goal. And I guarantee you will find like-minded individuals, no matter what your goal is, who will help you stay accountable. So come join us online. We want to know what your goals are and where you are moving in the future.
Absolutely. It's the best way to stay accountable. I do it myself, really. I just do it because it's like, well, if I'm going to put something up every week, I better have improved in whatever way I want to, because that's my way of just making sure that I stick to it myself. So I certainly do that.
Recommend. So you can post about it on our Facebook social hub. You can also search for the M Challenge Official on Instagram. You could tag us and you could be featured in our stories, and that kind of goes out to a larger community on Instagram. And you can also follow us on our Facebook page as well. You might get featured on our Facebook page as well. So that's all on the M Challenge, a little bit different to the Max Challenge or Maxine's Challenge social platforms. So come join us on the M Challenge, where most of our content will be starting to be published through that M Challenge network, I guess.
Very, very exciting. Be a part of it. Jump on board.
Nick, from here, I want to talk about some of our non-scale victories for the week. And I thought it would be a great time to highlight our top 10 finalists from the January challenge. That's both Max and Maxine, which are actually our very last Max and Maxine top 10 finalists, which I think are NSVs in themselves, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been speaking to some of the women who I'm going to interview at some point this week or next week, and a lot of them are saying how exciting it is to be a part of the last Maxine's challenge before it transitions to the M challenge. So it's so cool.
It really is. It really is. So from here, we're just going to go through alphabetical order of our top 10 finalists. We'll start with the guys. And then I've also grabbed a few of their non-scale victories that they made public in their profile. Okay. So just in alphabetical order, we've got Arthur Foman. Okay. And Arthur's been featured in our NSVs just over the past couple of weeks, where he, very quotable man. So I love that. Congratulations, Arthur. Then we've got Benson Thrembath, and Benson took out second place in the Max's Challenge. So congratulations to Benson. Next, we've got Hasib Tabin, and Hasib took out third place in the Max's Challenge. And he wrote in his profile, "The biggest impact the challenge has made on my life was giving me the self-confidence and making me feel good about myself with the results I achieved." And I think, you know, that's a huge NSV when we see that or feel that improvement in our self-confidence. And that comes from, you know, first that external sense, right? You know, I feel good in my skin and, you know, how people look at me. And then that turns into that internal confidence, which comes across in those changes in our personality as we kind of feel good for ourselves. So congratulations to Hasib.
Definitely.
Next, we have Howard Goods, or Howard Goodies. I will confirm how we pronounce Howard's last name, but he took out first place. So grand champion to Howard. Congratulations to Howard, our final first place grand champion for the Max's Challenge. And he writes, "So happy with the health improvements. Blood pressure down from 145 over 95 to 125 over 78. Cholesterol down from 5.1 to 3.5. It's also shown anything is possible. I want to keep going, and I'm seriously thinking about getting to the point where I can enter comps." Wow. Love it, Howard. That's huge. You know, seeing those.
That's huge. The stats there on that, like, that's massive improvements, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You know, can't like that. No, that blood pressure is, you know, kind of in that hypertension. hypertension range, 145 over 95, and he's got that down into like a normal range, which is about the 125 over 78. So that's huge, yeah. You know.
Right.
Not only has he lost weight, but he's improved his cardiovascular health, and he's probably added years to his life. So big congratulations to Howard, and I really hope that he pushes it over, you know, the next probably 6-12 months to get into a position where he's ready to step up on stage and enter a competition.
Yeah, so Howard, tune in a little bit later as I talk you through that in this podcast.
Next, we have Matthew Wells, amazing transformation from Matthew. And then we've got Nathan Singh. And Nathan writes, I feel amazing and so healthy. Little things have become so much easier to overcome, like tying my own shoelaces without holding my breath. I don't need to ask my wife to help me off the floor after putting my shoes on. Wow, such an amazing NSV right there, where, you know, not only have we been able to transform our body, but we've transformed our quality of life and our activities of daily living, ADLs, where he's able to put his shoes on again without having to hold his breath. So I'm sure that his wife is really happy that she doesn't have to help him get off the floor after putting his shoes on. So congratulations to Nathan.
Definitely. How good is that?
Next, we've got Nicholas Morgan with an amazing result here. Ricky Moliono, and Ricky took out a top 10 position in our previous challenge, the November challenge, and he's taken it to the next level. So you can actually listen to a podcast with Ricky from November, and you could see his amazing results in the Max's Challenge website, where he's got quads of the gods. So congratulations to Ricky.
Yeah, we like Ricky. He's good.
Next, we've got Stephen Porter with an amazing name. Congratulations, Stephen. Yeah, and finally,
there's never a Nicoletta.
No, sorry, Nicoletta. We'll find a Nicoletta. Don't worry.
Even you say Nicoletta, I feel like I'm in trouble.
And finally, we have Tarek Rasool, and Tarek writes, huge impact. I'm fitter, happier, less stressed, and feeling great. I think the impact will be twofold. Number one, new motivation to live a healthier life. And number two, motivation to do the challenge again, just to keep myself honest. I love that, Tarek, you know, that highlighting that idea of keeping ourselves accountable, keeping ourselves honest, and having that new motivation for a healthier life. So big wins for Tarek and big wins for our Max's final top 10 finalists. Right.
Absolutely brilliant. I tell you, it's what we were talking about before as well, just that keeping accountable. So he knows what's up, Tariq. He knows
what's up. Nick, we've got our Maxine's finalists. Take us through.
All right. So we have got Amanda Phillips. She had an amazing transformation. I was really impressed with that one. Bron Johnson. We've got Elise Davies. We've got Hayley Smith. We've got Jen Woe. Jen Woe was epic. Everybody was great. We've got Joanne Sadler. And then we've got our grand champion. We've got Jolene Elson. So Jolene, now to get a little bit of a snapshot from Jolene, she says, this challenge has felt amazing. It's my fifth Maxine's challenge and the first 12-week challenge I've fully completed. Others I threw in the towel about 7 to 8 weeks. This challenge has brought about a sense of confidence and belief in life balance and marks the end of all or nothing approach for me. So what I love about that, to be 100% clear, is the fact that this grand champion, the person who won the whole challenge, had not completed one before. That shows you that you are never, ever out of the game. So if you think, oh, I've never completed it, there's no way I could win, well, just speak to Jolene because she knows what's up. All right, next one we've got is Melita. Now, it's Bielefeld, but I'll find out. So that's my mission this week, to find out Melita's, how you pronounce her surname. She says, before I started the challenge, you wouldn't have caught me in a one-piece swimsuit, let alone in a bikini at the beach. I was so self-conscious. I feel so much more confident and healthy, and I wish I'd done the challenge sooner. So that's just a life win, because the worst thing for anyone, people will feel this, they'll feel this when I say it, is to sit on the beach and feel crap about yourself. You know, you're on holiday. You've probably spent your whole year waiting to go on this holiday, and you've got that sense of just being self-conscious and feeling crap. Even though no one's really looking, it doesn't matter. You're just so internal. So if you can get rid of that and just enjoy, then there's nothing better if it brings you joy. So that's really good. Next, we've got Melanie Cook. That was very impressive as well. Melanie has just basically embraced her muscularity and she looks like a machine. She's awesome. And then we've got Nicola Gibb. So she's a challenge favorite now. So, Nicola, I'm actually so comfortable in my own skin now. So just what we were saying before, I love the feeling of this new normal. I've broken through into new ground, taking my body where it's never been before. And from here, I just want to keep building the body of my dreams. So that's awesome.
I love that, Nicola. And what was it? Lean in the green, something like that?
Strong and lean for the green bikini.
Strong and lean for the green bikini. I love that, Nicola.
Yeah. So, and I saw someone asked her, a friend of hers, must be someone who didn't do the challenge, said, are you a bodybuilder now? And she said, yes. So that's what I love as well. She's just embraced it, owned it, and that is what she does. She's now building her body, making it a better version of itself every single day. That's what how you can call yourself a bodybuilder, I reckon.
I reckon too. It's all about adopting that identity.
Exactly.
Now, Nick, I need to redeem myself from the awards night. I've been told that second place, Jen Wu, and I said, Jen Woo. Been told that I missed out on an opportunity to say Jen Wow.
Oh.
This is such an amazing result from Jen. So Jen Wow, hopefully I redeem myself.
I can't believe you missed that dad joke.
I can't believe it either. So if you get to interview Jen, please let her know that I apologize. And it was a wow result from Jen.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Woohoo is really cool.
Woohoo, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, woohoo.
And, you know, touching on our final Maxine's Grand Champion, Jolene Elson, who we mispronounced in the past. And I think Jolene really highlights that kind of idea of, you know, if you fail, you know, just try again, right? Where, you know, it was her fifth challenge that she attempted and it was the first one that she actually completed. So if you're listening to this and, you know, maybe something happened over the January challenge where you didn't quite get the results that you wanted, maybe you dropped out in week one, maybe you didn't even start the challenge. That's cool. That's fine. You know, every time you try and attempt something, you know, you get better at it. And eventually you'll get to a point where you complete the challenge or you complete a training program or you complete your first month of training and then your first year of training and then your first 10 years of training. And then each time, you know, it's compounding success. So, you know, model yourself after Jolene, who's putting the effort and looks absolutely amazing to transform her body life. And I'm sure everything in between.
Yeah, and I hope that when we get to chat in the podcast, I'm really hoping she'll be able to deconstruct that a little bit more for us, because I think that is just so amazing to have come back every single time, and that's what everybody needs to do.
So, yes, a big congratulations to all of our top 10 finalists, both Max and Maxine. Of course, our top 50 finalists, and again, everyone who joined us in the January challenge, regardless of your result, regardless if you won or not, or if you completed or not, I think a big win is just putting energy towards improving yourself, which you should be so proud about.
Yes, 100%.
Nick, let's move on to our coach's corner where we offer our tip for the week. So, Nick, take us away. What advice do you have for us?
I would like to talk to you all about vision boards. So that's something that we can do in between the challenge. Now, it doesn't have to these days, with the advent of online, it doesn't have to be one that's actually in your house on a piece of cardboard. But I mean, it can be. It can very, very easily, it could be like a vision square or a vision photo or layout that you just have sitting on your computer or on your phone. So for me, I use one of those layout apps. So I believe it's called Layout for Instagram. I've also got Pic Collage, so they're both quite good. You can also use Canva. But the idea of it is to basically throw everything. If you're a visual person, which, I mean, some people are, some people are not, but if you're motivated by visual things, throw everything at this board that you would like to ultimately see happening to you or the way that you would like to look. You know, you can reach for the stars. I've got some pictures on my vision board that it's like, well, there's just no hope on this earth, both genetically and also probably with the things that these people use, that I will look like that, but I can get as close as I possibly can. And, you know, it's kind of like you aim high. It can be your own private thing. You don't have to share it with anybody. Nobody has seen my vision board. There's no need. It's just something that I like to manifest for myself. So, I mean, I started a long time ago with that when I first started doing triathlons. It was not as sophisticated as it is now with all the different apps that you have. But I pictured myself on that podium. And so I cut out some pictures of people on podiums and I figured out a way to do it. And yeah, I think that really helped. So I think that you can use, you know, a layout. You want to reach for the stars. So as I said, you know, I've got a picture of each body part and the goals around them and how to get to them. Then I have a vision for where I want to end up, and I have a vision of what I want it to look like. So, for example, my latest vision might have me holding up some sort of a trophy or something like that. You know, like, I'm not going to give too much away, but you've got to reach for the stars. So I see a lot of people at these competitions holding these things up. So I'm strong enough to hold one. I should be able to hold one. So I'm going to hold one. So I'm just sharing it all with you. I'm sharing my own secrets to our 57,000 downloads. Is that correct? I think we have 57,000. Have I got that wrong? But yeah.
Well, that's our vision board, Nick, 57,000 downloads. But yeah, I think that's over the past 12 months.
Yeah, but that's okay. Because I wouldn't have thought that one person, that's not true, but it's fantastic. You know, we're building here. You know, picture the colors and how you want it to look and feel. So, for example, for me, it might be, picturing and getting pictures of actual bikinis that I want to have. So similar to Nicola Gibbs' vision, particular bikinis, particular ways that the bikinis hit the light, ways that they will work with my hair and what I'm doing. So it's really down to the very fine details, because you want to leave no stone unturned with your vision board. It doesn't have to be competition either. It could be if you're into lifting weights, it can be a picture of somebody deadlifting something big or squatting something big, or a picture of some squat shoes that you might like to invest in, or a picture of a gym that you'd like to visit, you know, that where you see inspirational people, that kind of thing. And think of your vision board as a living thing. So, when you think of something new, you can add another image to it. You can add layers. You don't have to get rid of the old stuff. You can kind of add to it. You can see the process of your brain as you've actually ticked off those goals. You can keep it there, or you can add a new board. That's the beauty of a vision board. You can start from scratch. If it's like, oh, that one, if it no longer aligns with you at any time, it's just your own private way of getting things to happen. Now, I do think with Instagram and things, I think a lot of people do use that as a vision board as well, which I love seeing. I think that's fantastic. And I think within our challenge group, our social group, you'll find that a lot of people do that. They might just put up pictures of what they're doing or their muscles and things like that. And it's actually just a way of showing their progress to, one, stay accountable, and B, hold that vision in place. Because if you are putting yourself out there, or if you are putting a vision down, then to go backwards wouldn't feel correct. If you're hiding it all, you never show anything, no one's going to know. So it just helps to add that extra layer of accountability. Yeah, and also just be open to variations of what you want to achieve. So this is probably a little bit woo-woo, but just be very be very open to maybe deviating a little bit from that. So I know that, like, say with myself, when I got my feedback for my first comp, as we said, therefore I had to actually lift heavy stuff. So then I had to manifest different goals within that. So I was really, I kind of put the bikini stuff aside and had it sitting there, but then I really just had to focus on these numbers. So I would write down the numbers that I wanted, the numbers every single time, and then it just happened. It sounds weird, but seriously, and then I exceeded those numbers, and I still am in awe of my own process. So I really wanted to share it with everyone, just in case anyone's like a little bit stuck, or if you've never done it before, give it a go. Because also I do think that for anything, any project that we want to achieve, either writing it all down or having it in pictures, getting it out of your head and putting it down somewhere, lets it live somewhere than other than in your brain, and therefore it starts to come true.
I agree. I agree, Nick. And I think when you have like an idea in your head, like once you get it out, put it on paper or put it into an image or put it into something tangible, then it becomes more real, because we can sit there and think like, oh, I wish I had a six pack, or I wish I lost, I was 10 kilos lighter, or geez, I wish I could deadlift 100 kilos or whatever it is. We can sit there and put it in our head for a while, or we can write it down and actually make it a thing. And sure, are you manifesting it and asking the universe to give it to you? Okay, maybe if you read The Secret and you want to be a little bit woo-woo, but we're a little bit here, where if you put it down on paper or you see your goal constantly, you will start, putting it into that kind of subconscious mind. You'll start making more small decisions throughout the day to get you closer to that goal. Okay. So if you did want big quads, you do want to lose 5 kilos, or you do want to have the six pack, whatever it is, if you see that goal consistently every single day, then you'll start making smaller decisions every single day to get closer to that goal. So sure, you can say that you're asking the universe and it's going to give it to you, or you could also be making small decisions over time. Regardless of what process happens, putting it down on paper gets you closer to that goal. So vision board, get it down. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And it means that you might be sitting next to Shane at nighttime, and you're watching Better Call Saul, and he's eating a Magnum, and you're eating some green beans. But that's what's got to be done.
That's what's got to be
just
done.
Just hypothetically.
That hasn't happened before, but that's just the vision, right, Nick?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. All good.
Nick, I'd like to continue my little mini-series within a series here. Hypertrophy tip number 3, Nick.
Yes.
We are going to be talking about maximizing the mind-muscle connection, or MMC, maximizing the mind-muscle connection. I really got to get better with these clickbaity kind of ideas for Coach's Corner. So I want to talk about what is the mind-muscle connection, how we can maximize it. So we've often hear that kind of concept thrown around, especially as you transition to a little bit more of an intermediate trainee and you start dabbling in online spaces, and you'll see the bros talk about, oh bro, you got to get your mind muscle connection up, right? And we kind of think, well, what does that mean? You know, we start to rationalize it and think, well, mind muscle connection, we're just thinking about the muscle while we train. Cool. Like if I'm training my biceps, if I think about the bicep, does that make it grow more? So we first need to kind of talk about, what are we talking about with the mind muscle connection? So traditionally what we're speaking about is this idea of feeling the muscle while you are training the muscle. Okay. So if you're doing a bicep curl, you want to be able to feel the bicep working. Okay. As opposed to doing a bicep curl, and maybe you do the bicep curl and you only feel it in your forearms, right? Because maybe you're doing like a wrist curl, or maybe you feel it all in your shoulders, or feel it all in your pecs because you're swinging the thing. So what we're talking about is this idea of feeling the muscle while we're doing a bicep curl, okay? But it kind of, well, not bicep curl, but an exercise in general, mind-muscle connection. It kind of goes a little bit beyond that, because for hypertrophy, we want to be feeling that mind-muscle connection. We'll be feeling the muscle while we're doing a contraction of that exercise, okay? As opposed to, let's say if you were doing, yoga as an example, you might be able to feel like your glute when you're doing a certain pose, right? That's not really a hypertrophy stimulus. That's just, you know, kind of feeling that maybe burn sensation because you're holding a funky pose. Or when you stretch a muscle, right? You feel the muscle, you can have that mind-muscle connection in that bicep, but that's not a stimulating stimulus, right, for hypertrophy, okay? Or similar as like a flex, you know, you could probably flex your bicep, but again, that might not be a hypertrophy stimulus. So it kind of goes beyond just feeling the muscle. We want to be feeling the muscle while we're completing contractions. And that kind of comes under two types of concepts. First, when we're doing an exercise with short rep ranges, so maybe that 5 to 10 rep range, we want to be feeling kind of tension in the muscle, okay? Kind of like you have this feeling like the muscle wants to almost like rip off the bone, okay? It's not that extreme, but you know, we want to kind of feel that kind of tension in the muscle. So for example, when you're doing a bicep curl, you want to feel the bicep. You want to feel like, you know, you're getting a whole lot of tension and pull and strain on the bicep, okay? And that is a really powerful mind-muscle connection. When we're going in higher rep ranges, so let's say 10 reps and beyond, we want to kind of feel this kind of burning sensation start to build up in the muscle that we're targeting, okay? And that's kind of a buildup of metabolites and like inflammation that's kind of building up into that muscle. And that's kind of the starting of like the pump. So when we're doing a bicep curl, if we're doing it for, let's say, 10 to 20 repetitions, we're going to be doing bicep curls to a point where we want to feel that bicep burning. And it's almost like painful to keep on doing reps. Like you could do more reps, but it becomes almost painful because of all these buildup of metabolites occurring. So we don't want to just be feeling the muscle while we're doing that exercise. We want to be feeling that kind of tension and burn while we're doing that exercise. And that is essentially what that mind-muscle connection is. You know, we're very present in the moment, feeling that muscle that we're focusing on, and kind of getting that tension and or burn, depending on the rep range that we're completing. So the next part is, well, how do we maximize the mind-muscle connection? Talking about the tip for the week here. Firstly, for beginners, it can be tricky to develop the mind-muscle connection, okay? Because we're still figuring things out. On a physiological level, the feeling that we have in the muscle comes from like a development of the nervous system. So if you've never experienced a bicep curl before, and I'm PTing you, and I go, oh, Nick, you got to feel your biceps when you're doing your bicep curl, and you've never done a bicep curl before, you'd be like, I don't even know what the bicep is. Like, I've never felt that before. So it does kind of come beyond that beginner phase. So someone who's done some exercise in the past where we can start to feel the muscle, and that starts with a development of the nervous system. Okay, so that's the first part. Second part, we need to have a basic foundation of anatomy. So if I went, Nick, oh yeah, we're gonna feel your biceps, you might be like, Where are the biceps? Maybe that's a poor example because most of us know where the biceps is. But I said, oh, Nick, you know, did you feel that in your hamstrings? And you start pointing at your maybe the back of your thigh. Okay, that's a close one. Or if I said, oh, Nick, did you feel it in the long head of your triceps? You might look at me like, what the hell is that? You know? So it comes down with a fundamental understanding of anatomy is kind of like that foundation for that mind-muscle connection. So first we've got a little bit of training. So we're building that nervous system, understanding it. Next, we need to understand a little bit of anatomy. Then we kind of get into kind of this area of trial and error. Okay. So with every exercise, there isn't a really dogmatic right or wrong way to complete an exercise. There's overarching principles. So a bicep curl, we want to bend the elbow, right? But how you complete a bicep curl does come down to very unique situations to you. So if you're doing a bicep curl with, let's say, a barbell, there's a whole range of variations to maybe where you place your hands, how you move your wrists, how much maybe shoulder flexion you complete, and lots of minutia that comes to it. And by adjusting that technique, can adjust how much mind muscle connection you feel. Okay. And maybe an example today, when I was training legs, I was doing squats. And for me, I find a really funky way to do my squats for hypertrophy versus squats for strength, where when I'm doing it for hypertrophy, I ended up having my toes quite turned out, right? My chest really upright. And then I end up kind of dumping my hips into an anterior pelvic tilt. So if anybody who understanding movement language I'm talking about, really extend my spine. And I feel this really crazy tension on my quads, lower myself down, I add a pause and I press up. And for me, I struggle with 70 kilos on a barbell for more than 10 reps because my quads feel like they're going to explode. And in contrast, when I'm strength training, I could squat, you know, over 200 kilos when I'm focusing on strength. So there's this idea of with mind-muscle connection, all these minor changes to how I squat build up this crazy amount of tension, which is this crazy amount of stimulus, which builds my quadriceps, okay? So this is an open invitation to you to maximize your mind-muscle connection. Start playing around with very small changes to your technique. Still under the umbrella of a technique, we still want a squat to look like a squat, right? We don't want it to start looking like a deadlift or a bicep curl because we still want to squat. But if you kind of adjust your foot position, maybe adjust your torso angle slightly, maybe adjust some of the apparatus that you use or some of the weight that you use, you may find that you drastically increase the amount of tension or burning sensation you feel in that target muscle. Then as we go deeper, the very last one is training closer to failure, which again kind of comes more relevant when you move into that intermediate advanced category and you've got a bit of experience with training where you can train closer and closer to failure. Because as a beginner, you know, you might get to 10 reps and you're like, oh, well, I think that's it. Whereas if you're a bit more advanced, you go, well, I'm at 10 reps. I think I could do another two more. So as you train closer to failure, get a better understanding of what failure truly is, you really start to hone in on that mind-muscle connection, because as we get closer to failure, that's when we really start to feel like this tension building up, this burning sensation in that muscle area. So look, that's the overarching idea of mind-muscle connection. The reason why it's important is that the greater the mind-muscle connection we have, the greater, you know, raw stimulus we can create. And the more stimulus we can create on a muscle, that means more of a hypertrophy signaling stimulus that becomes. So in simple words, the better mind-muscle connection, the better potential you have to build muscle. Okay. And then, you know, we start to go into bigger conversations where if we can utilize a greater stimulus from less resistance, for example, me squatting, I can get a great stimulus on my quadriceps with a light load. Then I don't have to beat up my body and put a lot of unnecessary tension on my body when I'm trying to build up my squats. As in, if I put 200 kilos on my back, you know, my back's going to get sore, my shoulder's going to get sore. You know, I add a lot of compressive force, my joints can get beat up. So we want, you know, over time to master this mind-muscle connection so that we can use lighter loads to get a greater stimulus over time. So Nick, that is the mind-muscle connection.
Wow. Once again, for me, with that belted squat,
hip belt squat.
That's the one. I am playing around with that, and 60 kilos for 12 reps cooked me to the
well done steak.
Yeah, and then I had to do it again and again, yeah. And I was char grilled, no, charred, not even grilled. I was cremated.
You were cremated.
Yeah, I was cremated. Yeah. My ashes were scattered all over the gym.
No, so good. Yeah, I think, like, you know, when we're talking about like different apparatuses, sometimes it does take like changing some things around. So if you always do a leg press, but then, you know, you have done leg press for a couple of weeks and you just, it's not built for you. So maybe you try this certain leg press at this certain gym and you're like, oh, I just never find it comfortable. I adjust the seat, I adjust the angle, I adjust my foot position, and I can just never feel comfortable. I never feel it in my quads. It just kind of hurts my hips and my knees and things. But then you swap exercises. Maybe you swap it to another leg press variety in a different gym, or maybe you have a hack squat, or maybe you have a hip belt squat like at Nick's gym here. And you might find that, whoa, like you jump into that and you're like, Jesus Christ, this thing was built specifically for me. It might as well have my name on it. Might as well call it Nick's hip belt squat. And you feel your quads absolutely explode. That's the concept of the mind-muscle connection, where you might need to adjust the technique, adjust the exercise, maybe adjust the machine. And sometimes it does take a couple of sessions over time, which is why we don't want to be changing exercises every single week. Because if I started a new exercise, let's say a hack squat, on a certain machine, I might take a couple of weeks to be like, oh, maybe if I just kind of turn my feet out a little bit more, maybe I want to have my feet more pointing forward, or if I have a bit wider stance, oh geez, that blows up my, oh okay, that's my position on this exercise. So it kind of goes back to the idea where there's no one absolute true correct way to exercise, because we all have our individual variances, and by playing around with those positions, either through our warm-up sets, so maybe as you do one or two warm-up sets, you kind of adjust that position, you're like, yep, this is it, or over a couple of actual sessions, so maybe week two, week three, you find, oh yeah, I've really nailed this exercise, that becomes really, really Jedi-like, we call it, you know, that's when you become like a master of that hypertrophy, that's when you become a bodybuilder, Nick.
And then you put your baby Yoda outfit on and put 10 more kilos on each side.
Yeah, and yeah, that's when you become a real master.
Yeah, master I am. Protein I talk about.
Nick, yes, let's transition into our questions for the week. A little Q&A segment. First question came through via an email, and it was, what's the difference between Maxine's burn and Maxine's night? Can I have the night during the day? Nick, what advice would you give this person?
Philosophical question. You know what, like, firstly, I'll start with the thing that we always say, like, you can do anything you want. So, like, I'll just start with that. But is it optimal to have the night during the day? Not really, because it's designed for nighttime when you're expected to, like, you're asleep, hopefully, and you're not eating anything else. So it's a slow digestion, slow to digest protein as opposed to whey protein. So I would recommend to have it at nighttime as directed and have the burn during the day. That's the way to do it. You'll probably get optimal, you know, results from doing it that way.
Awesome. Mm. So the main difference between the two products is kind of the ingredients in the products. Of course, Maxine's burn being primarily made up of whey protein and Maxine's night primarily being made up of casein proteins. That's the two significant differences between the two. I'd agree, Nick. I'd say that, yeah, for optimal results, like, you know, we kind of want to have the casein in the evening. But like you said at the start, you can do what you want. you can definitely have a casein. Yeah, you can definitely have a casein protein during the day. And, you know, especially for some folk who maybe want to dabble in like intermittent fasting or time restricted eating, and you choose not to eat food throughout the day, or maybe you are doing Ramadan or something, and you are going a period of fasting, you might want to choose to have a slow digesting protein like a casein throughout the day. There's nothing wrong with that as.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, just think of it as something that you can have when you're not going to be eating for a period of time. But I mean, I guess it's like technically not counted as fasting, but.
No.
Yeah.
Well, what is fasting really? But yeah.
Yes, that's right. Because then, yeah, let's answer that question next week, actually. Good one.
Nick, next question here. I only have 30 minutes to work out. What should I focus on? Ooh, good question. When I saw this question, it was a little bit ambiguous what the context was. I guess when I first see a question like this, it goes, okay, I only have 30 minutes to work out. And 30 minutes can be appropriate. But, you know, if it's saying I only have 30 minutes, I start to wonder what the environmental situation is that only restricts 30 minutes. So maybe someone is time poor. Maybe someone's, you know, busy mum running around or busy dad or, you know, very busy at work, whatever it is, someone who's time poor. So we kind of go, well, where are you training? Is that 30 minutes including everything from like getting to the gym, doing your workout, coming home? Or are you training in your home? But then I think the main takeaway here is the things you want to focus on is kind of the big bang for your buck exercises. So if you do only have 30 minutes to do your workout, there's no point on focusing on, let's say, smaller muscle groups. So if you have 30 minutes, there's no point on doing, you know, just bicep curls and calf raises and expecting to achieve amazing results, assuming that your goal is maybe body composition, weight loss, or strength gain, unless you want to just focus on your biceps and your calves. Great, you know, no dramas. So I would say those bigger compound exercises. So I'm focusing on, let's say, squats. I'm focusing on, you know, bench press. I'm focusing on rows and pull-ups and such. If you are limited to time for only 30 minutes for a long period of time, so let's say that's your only option, it would be wise to invest in some equipment, because if you are just going to be training 30 minutes at home with just body weight exercises, you might be limited. Okay, we might only be able to do exercises such as, you know, body weight squats, lunges, sit-ups, push-ups. But if you had a small home gym, let's say you had a squat rack and barbell and some plates, you have 30 minutes, maybe your kids are having a nap, okay, you could go in and complete a really great session in 30 minutes time. You might focus on maybe two or three exercises, maybe those bigger exercises, squat, bench press, and like a deadlift, right? The big three there. And you might do some napkin math where you go, okay, if I spend 10 minutes on each exercise try to complete, you know, maybe three sets of each exercise, it might take you 3 minutes between each set. So you're doing 9 sets total, which takes you about 30 minutes, a little bit of a warm up, and a little bit of logistics in between. That could be a really great program that takes only 30 minutes, 3 exercises, home gym setup. If you've got a bigger commercial gym, similar advice, focus on those compound exercises, those big bang for your buck exercises, and getting, in and out with that workout.
Yeah, I like that. I'd probably just also add, like, as you said, logistics. If you could find the time the night before, if you're at home, say for me, if I was doing that, I would, if I was starting squats, I'd make sure that my barbell was set up on the squat rack and all that was good to go. Because otherwise that can take you up to 4 or 5 minutes just to set all that up, and then see you later for your workout. So just be mindful of that. And even within the gym, you know, try and go at a time when the equipment is more likely to be free. Otherwise you're going to be waiting around. Yeah, so you've got to really be smart with that time.
I do think for some of the more advanced folks out there, you can start to leverage the concept of like supersets.
Yeah, I was so try to do that. So what did you think of that idea?
Yeah, 30? So you definitely can, and especially if you are struggling to get adequate volume for growth, because if you are focusing on straight sets for 30 minutes only, and maybe you are time poor, so you can only train, you know, let's say 3 or 4 times a week, that might be might not be enough significant volume to really drive growth. So you may get to a point where you need to fit more exercise in. So that's where we could dabble in the concept of like supersets. I would suggest more antagonistic supersets. So let's say you're doing a bench press, you might superset that with like a row. So like a push and then a pull superset, or like an upper lower superset where you might do a lower body exercise, upper body exercise, because the idea is you want to get more volume across more muscle groups rather than increasing the intensity by doing back-to-back supersets of the same muscle group. So if you are doing a quad-based exercise followed by a quad-based exercise, that's going to drastically increase the intensity of your session, which means you just have to recover from more rather than adding more total volume across more muscle groups, especially in that 30-minute period. So that's what my advice would be around that.
I agree with your advices.
Advices. Nick, next question here.
Yeah.
I finished the challenge and my goal now is to do a comp.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like Howard, our Max's grand champion.
Hmm.
What steps should I take? Nick, what should someone do if they want to compete?
All right. So firstly, there are a few things to think of. There are many federations. I'm assuming you're in Australia, but there are quite a few different ones. And let's also just assume that you're natural, because there are different federations. There are tested and untested federations, but also it depends if you care or not. But if you want to be competitive and you don't sort of take the extra things, then you want to make sure that you're in a tested federation where you're competing against people that are sort of on the same level as you. Because as a natural athlete, you're probably never going to be able to build as much muscle as someone who's enhanced. So just think of that and look into the natural federations if you can. The next thing would be to have a realistic look at where you are and base it on what division you'd like to compete in. There's no point in thinking that you'd like to compete in a figure competition if you are more sort of suited to bikini at this point. So each federation has different criteria for that as well. So just say you wanted to do the INBA, their bikini criteria is a little bit different to the ICN. So ICN bikini criteria is sort of usually quite tall and very, very lean, like a model type look. So you kind of look at that and you go, wow, I'm not even built like that, you could say, you know. So it's just better to have a look, whereas some of them like round and bubbly, that kind of a thing. And then you go all the way through to figure. And figure, it's funny because it's not actually as huge as you think. That's all about symmetry. So it's like if you have a body a little bit like we say a Dorito, that's for a woman, you know, probably a man too, but you want to make sure that you've got that upper body, the taper, and then you've got in between that, you've got the fitness division where you just look generally all round athletic. You've got your six pack, you've got your big quads, you know, your glutes, that kind of a thing. So where do you sit on all of that? That's where you've got to find out. And then there's no point in trying to mold yourself to fit the criteria. You need the criteria to sort of fit you, as in otherwise you will not be too passionate about it. So if I've ever been told previously that I should do bikini, that's made me sad, because I'm like, oh, for me, I want more muscle. I want to be in the next category. So that's why I've taken some time to ensure that I will do that. So really take time. That's the other thing. I know that this is a saying that everyone says within the industry, but the stage will always be there. So it's better to take some time than to get all peeled and realize that you don't quite have as much muscle as you thought, because you just were doing big deadlifts 24/7 and it didn't actually build that much muscle, because you probably didn't have the mind to muscle connection that Coach Steve was talking about before. So you want to then look into all the other branches of competing, which people don't think about, which is your bikini. So what are you going to wear? What colors suit you? Who's going to make your bikini? How much is it going to cost? Do you want to look for a secondhand one? Which people within Australia make bikinis? Can you go visit them, or do you need to order it online? Are you going to enter a swimsuit division? How far out are you? How much does it cost with all of those things? Because you need them. Your heels. You need to learn to walk in heels. You need to learn a routine. You often need a posing coach, because they will tell you the right posing for your specific division. It might be different for a guy, because I think that you taught yourself your own posing. So you can obviously interject here. But for women, it's fortunate and unfortunate, but we're still very much based on almost, it's like a dance routine. And some federations are kind of shifting away from that a little bit. One of the posing coaches that I'm working with at the moment was saying to me, it's really about just getting your body into the right positions for us. And that speaks to me, because I just want to show off the hard work. I'm not as much of a performer, whereas some people just love being on the stage. I just want to show that I train and go home. So it depends where you fit in with that. But so, yeah, just work out that with your vision board, I suppose. Then you need to really get a realistic perspective. So if someone tells you at the gym that you should do it, you're probably still quite a bit away from doing it. You know, you probably need somebody with an eye to give you a little bit of a look over. That could be a posing coach, or it could be the help of you know, somebody who's done it before or somebody who's involved in the industry. You can even go to posing workshops. That's the thing. You don't have to pay money for a coach or anything. You can go to a posing workshop, and often the head judges of each federation are there and they will talk you through the requirements, and then you can actually ask them. So they're held in every city. So that's another thing to do. And, yeah, just affiliate yourself with a few federations, get to know and have a go. And then the other thing, of course, is to go to the show and actually sit through it and sit through everyone's routines and look at people if they're doing a T-walk or an I-walk. You know, you have to do four different poses in each section, and sometimes you've got to, it gets a little bit boring. So you've got to think, how would I engage the audience? How could I make sure that I make eye contact with the judges? What looks good? What doesn't on stage? What would I do different? That kind of a thing as well. So many things to think about, even though I have downplayed it before and said, just chuck a bikini on. Absolutely. But if you want to be competitive, and there are people that will eat you alive there if you don't do this stuff, then I would take all of this into consideration as well. So write yourself a little checklist and get some people in your corner, stay with them, and go all the way doing that.
Yeah, I like it. I, of course, have a few ideas. I think the first one, like you nailed it towards the end, was if you want to be competitive, right? If you want to go and do it, if you want to achieve it, just kind of like, you know, the same way as, oh, I've achieved to run a marathon. If you want to go and achieve to be able to step up on stage, you know, all you need to do is pay for it and go up on stage, right?
Oh, 100%.
You can do it. But if you want to be competitive, there might be more to it. I would argue that most of those individuals that do well in the challenge, you know, maybe you got in the top 10 or maybe even the top 50, you would be competitive up on stage, right? And I say that from, you know, going to amateur bodybuilding shows and seeing the quality from the guy point of view is that, hey, you're up on stage, you got a six pack, off you go. You know, you could be competitive. And it does kind of come down to the little bit of skill that comes with posing. And again, you know, with Flex Friday, we see some amazing posing. So for many of us, we can do really well by stepping up on stage and just going and giving it a go. My first step that I would tell anyone if they want to go and compete would be to go and just watch a show. You know, see how it works, see how everyone comes on stage, see the condition that the competition is in, see how the poses work. Is it a routine like Nick had? Or, I mean, my experience, it was just the mandatory poses. So you go up on stage, you do your quarter turns, then you do the standard seven poses. If you said that you were going to have an individual routine, you go and do your individual routine. If not, you know, you're still up on stage, and then there's like a free pose, right, where everyone's posing and doing their thing. So very different experiences between different federations and I guess between guys and girls. And I'd say first step, go and experience a show. Next step would be dabble in posing, and that could be researching it like I did. Like, I didn't have a posing coach. I went to some of those posing workshops where I thought they were pretty average, but that's my opinion. But, you know, I just went and researched what people were doing for those poses, you know, just good old Google. And then I was filming myself and being my own critique. And I guess that's just my approach to most fitness competitions. I like to coach myself, just like I did in powerlifting, just like I did in bodybuilding and other events that I've done. So yes, you can start dabbling, pouring money into it, or you could just do it yourself and still have a great experience. But I would also say that wanting to do a competition and actually doing it are two different things. It does kind of come back to what you were suggesting, Nick, in Coach's Corner about creating things like a vision board, because you could say, oh yeah, I'd really like to do that one day, versus actually signing up and doing it, two very different things. And once you actually sign up and do it, gosh, you can get that poster up on your wall and you can stare at it every single day. And that's when you've got to start putting in the work and getting it done.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing I'll add is posing in front of people and working out your poses and your transitions and things like that. You do need the experience of posing with others, because once you're up there, it can throw you a bit, and you certainly don't want to be somebody that goes, oh, sorry, you see that. And you've actually got to hold your own so much with that. And sometimes women can be very apologetic and go, I'm sorry, I'm up here. And you don't want to do that. You actually want to be you know, owning your space. So the best way to do that is to pose with, even with friends. Like, I think you've probably seen some of my friends at the gym that we've trained at that, you know, that they do the posing and we have a go together. All that's sort of what we do as well. So fine. Your circle will come to you.
Yeah. It was really funny. My experience with bodybuilding posing, especially up on stage, was a little bit like, bit of aggression in there.
Yeah,
right?
There is. You've got to. Yeah. That's the word.
You got to. And what you, it was really funny because they get you to stand up on a line, right? There's a line on the floor, you know, everyone on the line. And then with each pose, what you do is you creep like half a step forward closer to the judges because, you know, basic like, you know, vision point, as you're closer to an object, you look bigger. So what everyone was doing was like taking like a little step forward to get closer to the judges. So you look bigger. And then, you know, every now and then the guy on the microphone or girl on the microphone would be like, back on the line, boys, and you're back on the line, you know, like this. But, you know, it really comes down to like that a bit of aggression with the guys is, you know, like maybe getting in front of your opponent, your other competitor, maybe get your bicep in front of them, that type of thing. So it was very, very interesting experience is all I would say.
Yeah. It's either for you or it's not, but you'll only know if you try. And it's not exclusive to anyone. That's the other thing. Like, you know, you can go down the route if you want to turn pro and really give it a go. But otherwise, yeah, anyone can do it. It's like a triathlon or anything. It's not exclusive to anybody. You can just rock up and give it a crack and everybody will come and support you and you have fun. That's the main thing.
Hmm. And last thing I'll say on this subject is that it can be a means to the end or the end to the mean, meaning that it can be something that you do, saying that, oh, I do bodybuilding shows, I'm competitive in bodybuilding shows, or it's something that you do so that you stay within fitness. Also meaning that, oh, you do bodybuilding shows every season B because it gives you something to work towards. Because if you weren't doing that, similar to like the challenge, you might just be spinning your wheels. You don't really see much muscle growth or improvements in your fitness or that type of thing. You might just be going to the gym with no like kind of purpose. So you may use like the challenge as your means to the end, meaning that, oh, I do the challenge because I want to win the challenge, or I do the challenge because it keeps me accountable to something. The same way with bodybuilding, you can do bodybuilding shows because you want to win bodybuilding shows and be competitive, or you do bodybuilding shows so that it gives you something to work towards, so that you're still interested in fitness. And that can be exactly the same reason why you choose to do marathons, the reason why you do triathlons, the reason why you do powerlifting shows or whatever kind of competition. It kind of keeps you kind of accountable to a something, a goal out there.
Well, that's it, because also, yeah, no one's forcing you to do it. And yeah, it's just got to be your own little way to stay accountable.
Yeah. Nick, last question here. What training program should I follow for building muscle? Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is a bit of a bazinga question. Bazing. The first thing, if you want to build muscle, the training program that you follow should be one that you enjoy. So regardless of what it is, it needs to be something that you enjoy. Next, to build muscle, you need, with a capital N-E-E-D, to follow a resistance training program. So you need to be able to be in a position to stimulate muscle growth, to build muscle, okay? Now, that resistance training program doesn't need to be anything different from a weight loss training program. There's the bazinga. I think, like, regardless of your goal, let it be weight loss or weight gain, you know, we're still following the same goal within training, is that we're trying to build or maintain as much muscle as we can. So those two goals have the same principle around training, where we are following our resistance training program, where we're prioritizing overload and hopefully progressive overload, where we're trying to build muscle. And if we're losing weight, we're trying to maintain as much muscle as we can through the same principle. So I would say that your training program should be first, something that you enjoy. Second, hopefully it's a resistance training program so that you can stimulate muscle. And then third, it doesn't need to be too much different to what you're doing now. I think as you consume more food, you can start to increase your volume. Volume meaning potentially more weight on the bar, more load. It could be more sets, more reps. So that's how a program could start to look different. Your training program, it could be more volume because you're doing more work, and that could mean that you're doing more sets because you have more energy, right? But then I would also argue that, you know, you'd kind of want that stimulus when you are in an energy deficit. So I would say the program would still look not too different from a weight loss program. Okay.
Definitely. The only thing you'd have to do is just really manage your nutrition and probably food timing if you are in an energy deficit around that training. So to just try and maximize the ability to have as much energy as possible to do it as best as you can with the calories that you may or may not have.
That's right. That's right. Nick, let's wrap up there for episode number 64 of the Challenge Weekly Show. 64, that's a significant number in the tech world, the 64 bits, Nick.
Oh, cool. Well, 6 plus 4 is 10, and we are 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Love it. If you enjoyed this episode, check out the 63 other episodes of the Challenge Weekly Show, and we'll catch you next week for episode number 65, getting close to retirement age, Nick. Yeah. We're not retiring.
No. Wow, wow.
Wow, wow. See you next week.
See you.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend.
Or leave us a review on iTunes to spread the good word. See you next time.